Shabbat Shalom. And I am going to be giving the last part, at least for now, of the messages we've been going over on the sanctuary of Yahweh. And this one is called Another Spirit, the Sons of Light. Another Spirit, the Sons of Light. And I've said many times, I know it's probably something people don't like to hear. I know I don't like to hear it, and I know Yahweh doesn't like to hear it. But unfortunately, we're living in the generation where more people will be lost than any other generation from the beginning of mankind. And it's a sobering thing. And one thing, as I've said this many times, whatever you focus on becomes most real to you. We're creatures of our environment. So we only know what we know. You know, and you don't know what you don't know, or you'd know it. So here we are, we've only lived in this generation. We've only lived in the last generation. But at least some of us are old enough to know people from the prior generation. And I said this, you know, when I was younger, I really so much appreciate one of the first things I did when I was doing ministerial counsel was going out with the elders to the widows. And for me, I felt like I was the one who got more than giving, hearing the widows and a lot of these people tell their life stories, people that were born in 1880, you know, and you get to hear what people, you know, that lived in the 1800s, that they know firsthand from their grandparents before Abraham Lincoln was alive. And you really see it. We're living in a different world now, and there's really two different spirits here, and this is what this message is going to be about. I want to start in Genesis 3:15. I'll read it. You don't have to go there, or you can if you want. But it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And we know that's the first messianic scripture in the Bible. But we see that there's two seeds from the beginning of mankind. I know people come up with all kinds of crazy doctrines that come from this, but Yahweh is basically saying the nature of people, the spirit in people, and we see it today. You know that, I said this last week, there's only two spirits. There's the spirit of the evil one, there's the spirit of Satan, and there's the spirit of Yahweh. And we'll talk a little bit more today about how the Holy Spirit can transform our life and how it can change us. But every one of us, every human being that's born to one degree or another is born with human nature. They're born with the spirit of Satan. And even though they may have been taught, because like I said, we know that training, how you're trained, you know, that's why it says train up a child, because we are creatures of habit, our minds are that way. You know, whatever you put in, you can train a certain way. And if you did come up through parents that maybe had parents from the 1800s, like I was talking to, who trained you not to lie and not to steal. I know when I did landscaping, I had some older customers that they had to pay me on the spot. As soon as that grass was cut, they didn't want me walking away without paying me that $20 because they didn't want to owe anything, and that was good. What would have happened if they died that night and they would have owed a bill? And this is a training. It's not part of our nature because, as we're going to see here, our human nature is extremely evil, and it's the opposite. It's contrary to the spirit of Yahweh. But still, human nature can be trained, and this is where self-righteousness comes, to do good things, but for the wrong reasons. But the spirit of Yahweh is something different. The spirit of Yahweh, as we're going to see, is something that literally transforms us. Where now we're not just doing the right thing, we're doing it for the right reason. And we don't even have to think about it. Because it's part of us. It becomes a part of us. And the same, like we said, you are what you eat. You know, if we live to the flesh, we will die. If we allow the characteristics of our human nature, you know, of all of the things that we're going to read about in Galatians 5 to exhibit our life, then we will become that. And when Yeshua returns and burns up everything that's not righteous, we'll be burned up completely. There'll be nothing left. But if we allow the Spirit in us to crucify our flesh daily and crucify the envy and the covetedness and the lust and all those evil things, then we'll live. And that's really what it comes down to. But like I said, unfortunately, most people in this world don't want to surrender to the Spirit of Yahweh. And now you're getting to a point where people actually hate it. You look in Revelation, and when Yahweh starts bringing His plagues, not to bless the people, and it's not just happening, the way if you talk to people about earthquakes, and what will they say? There's been earthquakes since the beginning of time. And that's very true. But now, when you're starting to get major earthquakes, and you're getting 10, 20, 30 a month, where you might have had one a decade, that's not coincidence, because Yeshua said it in the end time. There'll be an increase of these things that Yahweh is causing it, because Yahweh is cursing the people, and he's punishing them because of their rebellion, because of their pride, and because of their refusal to submit to his spirit. So this is what we're up against here. I want to start in Romans 1. I'm going to start with the spirit of the world. I'm not going to stay on it very long, because that's the spirit that will not be here when Yeshua returns, or the spirit that he'll destroy when he returns. But I just want to show you that this is something real. You know, I mean, we could, sometimes you do show and tell. You know, all we have to do, if this was a show and tell, if it wasn't Shabbat and we were showing and telling, all we have to do is walk out the door and you'd see it yourself. You'd see it by the people over here in this community, or we could take a ride down the block in Tiberias and you'll see it. Because show and tell is real easy to show the spirit of the world today, because it's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere, you know, except for the remnant of Yahweh's people that he's calling out of that. So the book of Romans, chapter 1, starting at verse 18, he says, "For the wrath of Elohim from heaven is revealed against all the iniquity and wickedness of men who unjustly suppress the truth." Logically, think to yourself, in a day and age where you have the internet, where you have everyone on earth, even in the poorest places of the world, that can get to things on the internet or somewhere else, why is the truth still so suppressed? Why do you have less than 0.1% of Christians who keep the Saturday Sabbath? Why, when you get down to it with most pastors, if you really hit them on the scriptures, and I've done it hundreds of times, will they say, yes, you're right, Don, you are absolutely right, Saturday is the Sabbath, but if I preach this, I'm going to lose my job, people are going to walk, there's always a but. Why do they say it? Because they're suppressing the truth, they're unjustly suppressing the truth. Look in the news. You know, we see it even in just regular things. There's been at least 5 major scandals of President Obama's administration in the last 3 or 4 months, maybe the last 6 months or longer. And not one of these scandals is being brought out by the news. They're suppressing it. Because that's the spirit that we're seeing here. This is the spirit of the seed of Satan. And this is his time. Just like Yeshua walked freely for 3 years during his ministry. From the time he was 30 till almost 33, he walked freely. Nobody could touch him. He was able to do miracles and everything because Yahweh had allowed it. But then when he was taken, when he says it's the time of darkness, we're going to talk a lot today about sons of light and sons of darkness. And then we have to decide which side do we want to be on. Do we want to be a son of light or do we want to be a son of darkness? But here it is. These are people who are unjustly suppressing the truth, because the thing known of Elohim is clearly known within them, for Yahweh revealed it to them. Right? Creation. How on earth, in a world like we live in, where we know DNA, where we know so much, where science can know things that we could never imagine, how could anybody be so naive? And I will use the word stupid. I don't like to use it too much, but in this case, I will use so stupid that they can say there's no Elohim in heaven. We all came here from, you know, whatever it is, a piece of slime, whatever, you know, seaweed. No, of course not. It's stupid. It really is stupid to try to say that. Because the thing known of Elohim is clearly known within them. They know it. They know that you can't get everything we have here from slime. They know that there's 100 billion cells in every human being. And each one is 100,000 configurations, and if one little thing was off in your body, nothing would work. That doesn't come from slime. And it certainly doesn't come from an explosion. You know, like I said, being here in Israel, we've seen suicide bombings. We lived in Jerusalem when they were happening at least once a week. And I can tell you firsthand, there is not one bomb that brought order. Brahms being chaos. When we were going to build this room over here, we didn't say, you know what, bring all the wood, bring everything together, bring all the sheetrock, and throw a firecracker or a piece of dynamite on it, and then it'll all go up and it's all going to come down perfectly in order. It's not the way it works. And like I say, they're not that stupid. They're not that stupid to think that. For from the foundations of the world, and again, this goes back to creation, the invisible things of Elohim are clearly seen and understood in the things he created, even his eternal power and divinity, so that they might be without excuse. Like Yahweh said to Job, were you there when I put these constellations in the sky? Were you there when I created the sun and the moon? Were you there when I set the depths of the waters? No, none of us were. We've been here 20, 30, 50, 60 years. We're not here that long. So what arrogant man. And that's why I say every time someone's trying to tell me about evolution and all these things, I chuckle. I say, in a few years, you're going to be in a box dead, and Yahweh lives forever. So who wins in the end? The one who lives forever or the one who's dead in the box? Who do you want to believe? All these dead people from hundreds and thousands of years ago? Or do you want to believe the one that lives forever? I'll believe the one that lives forever, because he gives us proof of it. By his very creation is the proof that he exists. So they are without excuse, because they knew Yahweh and did not glorify him and give thanks to him as Elohim, but became vain in their imaginations, and their unwise heart was darkened. Sons of dark. Professing to be wise, they became foolish. That's why I said I will use that word. Don't like to use it much, but we'll use it here in the case of these people, because they really are. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible Elohim into a likeness of an image of corruptible man. Evolution. And of birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. And if we evolved from monkeys, then why are there still monkeys? Does that make any sense? You know, did maybe those monkeys haven't evolved? You know, they haven't come to the light yet? You know, it doesn't make any sense. Because if evolution worked, then there'd be no more monkeys. Because of this, Elohim gave them up to filthy lusts of their hearts and their bodies to be dishonored among themselves, who changed the truth of Elohim into the lie and worshipped and served the created thing more than the Creator who is blessed forever. That's what they say. They can solve everything. Science is telling us now, you know, within years, people are going to be living again, 500 to 1,000 years. They're going to work on the DNA. Good luck. Good luck. Because only Yahweh gives life and only Yahweh takes life. And all of their great minds and all of their great inventions, do you know man cannot even create one blade of grass? He can't. He can genetically modify it, you know, and kill everybody with it, but he can't create a blade of grass. Because Yahweh is the creator, and only Yahweh can give life and take it. Because of this, Elohim gave them up to dishonorable passions. For even their females changed the natural use of their sex to that contrary nature. And so also their males forsook the use of females, which is natural, and burned with lust toward one another, male with male. And you'll hear them.
Where does it say homosexuality in the Bible is wrong?
Open your Bible and read it. That's the problem. They don't read it. They don't want to believe it. Because they're evil. Because they're sons of darkness. They're not sons of light. And they did what is shameful. This is what it's about. It's not about getting your taxes lower with your partner. It's about a perverted sexual act that they want to do that is evil and unnatural. That's the bottom line of it. They can say what they want, but that's what it is. It's unnatural. And Yahweh's way of creation doesn't work with two women or two men. It don't work. And it certainly don't work with evolution either. They did what was shameful and relief for and received for themselves a just recompense of their error. And as they did not determine within themselves to know Elohim, Yahweh has given them over to a vain mind that they might do what they ought not to have done. Having been filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, iniquity, covetousness, malice, being full of envy, murder, quarrels, deceit, evil habits, becoming whisperers, slanderers, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, braggers, inventors of evil things, weak-minded, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, without natural affection, unforgiving, unmerciful. And sadly to say, many believers are feeling some of these things too. Are we covenant breakers? Are we weak-minded? Are we disobedient to parents? Are we slanderers? Do we quarrel? Do we have deceit? Are we whisperers? Who, knowing the righteous judgment of Yahweh, that those practicing such things, he condemns to death, not only do they do them, but they also associate with them who practice them. The Bible is very clear. We are not to associate with people that do such things. And I've been saying this for this whole series. We are to separate from the world. I said this many years ago. There was a person who was here in Israel for one of our programs. And he said to me, Don, I feel more comfortable with my friends in the world than I do the brethren. And I said, because you're evil. You're like them. people like things. And if you feel more comfortable with people in the world than you do the brethren, then you have a problem. You're not living a righteous life. Romans 3, go over a couple of chapters, in verse 10. According to it has been written, there is none righteous, not even one. Like I said, what the world wants to tell us, and even Christianity, is people are good people, they just do bad things, and Yahweh says no. People are evil, human nature is evil. And praise Yahweh, like we said last week, and I'll get in more today, by His Spirit we can put to death the deeds of the flesh. But are we doing it? None righteous, not one is understanding, not one seeks Yahweh. All turned away, they became worthless together. Not one is doing good, not so much as one. Their throat is a tomb being opened. They use deceit in their tongues. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and misery are in their way, and they do not know a way of peace. How about us? Like we said, you know, words. By your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Do we bring words of life, or do we bring words of death? Do we bring words that are edifying for encouragement? You know, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good report, think on these things. Or are we whisperers, backbiters? Because we got to decide today, are we one of the children of darkness or are we one of the children of light? And it's not what you decide you are, it's what you're doing. It's what you're living. You know, you will know them by their fruits. Great scripture. Can't kid Yahweh. It's one or the other. And they did not know a way of peace. There is no fear of Elohim before their eyes. I said this last week. You know, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge, the beginning of repentance, the beginning of everything. And you don't expect it from the world. We know it. Like I said, Revelation, when the plague of the heat comes, they curse Yahweh. They don't know any better. But they're still going to the lake of fire. But for the people of Yahweh to have no fear. For people to say, I've had brethren tell me before, oh yeah, I know I'm going to the lake of fire. What am I going to do? With no fear before them. What can I do? Repent. Change. Stop loving yourself more than loving Yahweh. Scary times we're living in. Verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. So that's about as much time as I want to spend on the sons of darkness. Because I want to spend this time on the sons of light. But I had to make clear, and we all know it, we live in the world, we weren't born yesterday, that we know it's a world of darkness. We know what the children of darkness are doing. But what we really want to look at, are we doing the same thing as the children of darkness, or are we coming out of that darkness? Numbers 14, in verse 20. Numbers, the 14th chapter, in verse 20. And Yahweh said, I have forgiven according to your word, but as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. For all the men who are seeing my glory and my miracles, which I've done in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tried me these 10 times and have not listened to my voice, they shall not see the land which I have sworn to their fathers, yea, not one of those who provoke me will see it. Too much is given, much is expected. The more is given, the more will be required. What excuse do we have? There's more than 100 scriptures that talk about the redemption of the land of Israel. What Yahweh is doing in these times, fulfilling prophecy before our eyes. What excuse do we have? None. But look at verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because there is another spirit in him, and he is fully following me, I shall bring him into the land into which he has gone, and his seed shall possess it. My servant Caleb, because there's another spirit with him. Another spirit. That's what we were saying last week. The transformation to the new man. This other spirit is a spirit of surrender. A spirit of submission. We said this in Genesis. I read this last week. You know that Yahweh gave man free will. In order for him to surrender it back to Yahweh. And take of the tree of life. Which is 100% faith in Yahweh. But because Yahweh loves us. He gives us free will. Man had to choose that on his own. Like we said, judicial order. It's voluntary and reciprocal. But what did man choose? He chose the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He chose to make his choice on what's right and what's wrong. And people do it all the time. Brethren do it all the time. You know, people will send me a website of something. And their first sentence will be, I know not everything is right on here. But, if If everything isn't right, why are you sending it to me? I don't want the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know something? I'm not smart enough to go there and try to figure out what is right and what's wrong. But I am smart enough to surrender my will to Yahweh and just go with what's right. You'll never go wrong with the word of Yahweh because it's 100%. But if I'm going to think I know more than Yahweh and I'm going to go to something where I know is error, if they speak not according to the Torah and the prophets, there's no light in them. Isaiah 8:20. I've had people talk to me over and over and over. What about this ministry? What about this? That I never... Well, does he teach the Sabbath? No, he doesn't teach the Sabbath. Woo! Close your book. That's the end of it. But. And I keep reading Isaiah 8:20. What more do they need to know? You got to make a choice. Do you want to be a son of darkness or a son of light? Because you can't say, you know what? What are those cakes? You know, like an Oreo cookie. I'm half light and half darkness. It doesn't work that way. You are a son of light or a son of darkness. And what you're finding is in the days we're living in, the darkness is getting greater and the light is getting greater. The eye is the light of the body. Whoa, if there's darkness in your eye, how deep is that darkness? How do you see things? Do you see it through the aspect of love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering? But do you see it through the aspect of, hey, you know, he looked at me the wrong way. Why are you looking at me that way? Which way are we looking at it? But Caleb had another spirit. This is what we want. We need that other spirit. We need to surrender to that spirit. We need to pray as we're going to see for that spirit. Galatians 5. Galatians, the 5th chapter. In verse 16. But I say to you, if you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. Powerful scripture. We're going to go over some powerful scriptures today that are life transforming. If you believe them and if you follow them. If you walk in the Spirit, the lust of the flesh will not overtake you. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are opposed to one another, so you are not able to do as you desire. You know, Romans 7. It's not just the world that has that spirit. Every one of us are born with an evil human nature. And that nature every day, no matter where you go, if you go in the bedroom, if you go in the kitchen, if you go to the toilet, that nature is going to follow you. You know, maybe your wife or husband or your child can't follow you in the bathroom, but your nature will. So when you're sitting on your throne and maybe you're meditating on there, you want to make sure it's the Spirit of Yahweh that's speaking to you, not your human nature. They oppose one another. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the penalty of Torah breaking. Now the works of the flesh are clearly revealed. Adultery, impurity, uncleanness, lustfulness, idolatry. Okay, and covetousness is idolatry. Witchcraft, enmity, hatred, fighting, jealousies, anger, rivalries. You know, do we have rivalries with each other? We want his gift, he wants your gift. You know, she's doing what I'm doing. Stubbornness, divisions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveling. And things like these of which I told you before, and I said before, that the ones practicing such things will not inherit the kingdom of Elohim. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Against such things there is no instruction. So I can't go over these 9 things and give you instructions against it. To say you can have peace in every situation but this. You can have love in every situation except if the guy comes and takes your mangoes, then go get him. No. There's no instruction against those 9 things. These are what we practice. These are what we want to become part of our character. These are what we want to automatically do because it's in us. It's part of us. But the ones belonging to Messiah crucified the flesh with its passions and lusts. Let us therefore live by the Spirit and surrender to the Spirit. This is why I say, it may sound schizophrenic, but there's the good you and the bad you, and you have the choice over your body what you're going to do. I've had many times over my time in the ministry of people asking me to cast out a demon of this person. Matter of fact, just in America, it happened that somebody asked me to cast a demon out of someone. And I talked to the person first. I find out why the demon came. Did it come through addiction? Did it come through lust? Did it come through this? And then I asked them, if I cast out the demon, Are you ready to keep your house clean? Because if you don't keep your house clean, seven more worse ones are going to come and it's going to be worse. Are you ready to surrender to Yahweh? And the person said, no, I'm not. And they said, I'm sorry then, I can't cast the demon out. You're allowing the demon. I don't have control over a person's body. They give me that control in order for me to cast the demon out. But then if the demon leaves only to go get seven more, you're in a worse shape than before. And that's the point of it. We have control. Yahweh has given us the blessing to have free will. And we need to surrender that back to Him in faith. Surrender it back to Him. And every time we hold on to our way and look at these things, so if it's coming out of your mind, something that is either lustful, something that is either covetousness, something that is envious, what spirit is it? That means you are not surrendering to Yahweh. It means you're holding on to your own will. And the Holy Spirit can't work in you. And we're going to see what happens at the end when we stunt the Holy Spirit. That's why we got to surrender. And in one way, it's easy. Because we know Yahweh knows more than us. So why not just do it? Because you have your human nature and you have the prince of the power of the airway constantly telling you not to. Constantly telling you not to. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give up. They'll take advantage of you. You know? And face it. Like I always say, when people say, Don, I've been trying to overcome this sin for years. Why can't I do it? I let them know the truth, because you love the sin. There's something in that sin you're getting pleasure out of. You think you are. And you don't realize the end result is death. But you think you're either protecting yourself or you think you're getting some kind of physical enticement from it. But we know the end result of sin is death. And that's why we got to surrender it. We got to surrender it to Yahweh. There are clearly two spirits, what I just read. We must surrender to the Holy Spirit. We must give up our human evil nature to the Holy Spirit. John 14. I'm going to go over one of those wonderful scriptures now that is misinterpreted in almost every Bible, but is clear in the Aramaic. John 14 and verse 13. And whatever you may ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You know, we have a prayer request online. And we get a lot of people asking prayers, which is great. And again, Yahweh wants us to ask everything. He's our Father. He wants everything. And if you're having problems financially and you can't pay the rent, by all means, put the prayer request on. But I can't tell you in the last few months how many prayer requests are coming on there for people wanting money. And I don't see that many prayer requests coming on saying, pray to Yahweh that I'll get more love. Pray to Yahweh that I'll get more joy. Pray to Yahweh that I'll get more faith. But I see a lot. Pray to Yahweh for my children's education. Pray to Yahweh for my children's tests. Pray to Yahweh that we get money. What is it? Are we being led by the Spirit or are we being led by the flesh? He says right here, is he lying? If we pray and ask, he will give it to us. Are we asking? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. So again, there is a parameter to it. We need to be obedient if we want Yahweh to answer him. And here comes the big verse. And I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one, which will end the curse, that he may remain with you forever. What is this speaking about? Speaking about the curse of Adam. The curse of Adam. Yahweh made Adam to live forever. Yahweh planned on giving his Holy Spirit to Adam to go out and make other fruit for the kingdom of Yahweh, and share that with others. The same as Yeshua said to us, to produce fruit. We need to go out and produce fruit. But what did Adam do? Adam chose free will over the tree of life. He chose to make his own way. He chose to make his own decisions on right and wrong. And here we are, 6,000 years later. But now, look what he says. I will petition the Father, and he will give you another one, the Holy Spirit, who will end the curse. Which curse? The curse of Adam. The curse that we've lived in for 6,000 years can be ended now through the Holy Spirit if you surrender to it. If we take our pride out of the way, like I said, there's more pride in the world today in the Laodicean era than I've ever seen in my life. You know, people don't want to be corrected. Correction is the greatest thing in the world. Read Proverbs. The wise man is the one who loves correction because correction is what changes us. And you could be as nice and friendly and calm and go with words, and yet if they're words of correction, you'll see the face of somebody change, because they don't want to change. They are sons of darkness. They're not sons of light. It's that simple. And time's running out. We have to make a choice. You know, like I said, all of us in here, and I mean the world, not necessarily this room, we're only, very few people even 100 years old, a handful. So we haven't lived thousands of years that we can say, well, I've been around for 2,000 years, I can tell you a few things. We're all babes. We're new. But we have to make a choice. Will we unconditionally surrender to the Spirit that can end the curses in our life? Or are we going to hold on to our pride till the lake of fire? It's the choice each of us has to make. The Holy Spirit is what ends the curse of Adam's rebellion. It can transform us if we allow it. It can literally change the things we hate about ourselves if we simply allow it. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of Yahweh has risen on you. For behold, the darkness will cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people, but Yahweh will rise on you, and his glory shall be seen in you. I love that scripture. I love that scripture because it's written in the past tense. Arise, shine, your light has come. There's nothing else that's coming except the kingdom of Yahweh. But I mean, as far as our transformation, Yeshua came, he died, he rose, he paid the penalty for our sins. We're baptized, we have a Spirit living in us. What more do you need? You know, like the old joke, Joe, I sent you two raft boats and a helicopter. What more do you need to change? You have everything you need. And knowledge certainly ain't going to do it. You know, we know the Messianic movement, they're going toward knowledge. They think that, like I said, knowledge, you know what? I'm going to show you 14 ways that water can be used this way. Wow, whoa, wow, whoa. At the end of the day, there's no change. At the end of the day, there's no fruit. At the end of the day, there's no resurrection of the inner man. There's no transformation of the inner person. It's vanity. It's vanity, and that's where it's going for. But this is real. The words I'm saying is life, that there's a Spirit that's living in you. If you repented of your sins and you went under that water with a pure heart and you believed that the blood of Yeshua is covering those sins and you left it at the altar of Yahweh, there's something in you that can transform you. And if it's not happening, Yahweh is not barren, there's only one reason it's not happening. You're stopping it. You're stopping it. That's it. That you're holding on to something in your life that's of the child of darkness and not the child of light. The truth will set you free. And every one of us know that. When we first came to the truth and all those lies that were told us of our life were let go, we saw how free we felt and how good we felt. And like, wow, wow, I know the truth. And this is where we have to, whatever is stopping us, whatever is holding on, whatever that last, you know, thing, that last tick, you know, that's squeezing onto our neck, we got to let it go. We got to get rid of it. Darkness is the absence of light. We've said that before. Light gives life, darkness steals it. I want to read here a little quote from the Dead Sea Scrolls. Everybody knows about the Dead Sea Scrolls. I won't get into it. We know that it's coming from the War Scroll because it's really interesting. From the Yahad community. Here we are in Israel 2,000 years later. And who are we? The Yahad community. Ha Yahad, the togetherness. So this is to the Yahad. And it says, for the instructor, the rule of war, the first attack of the sons of light shall be undertaken against the forces of the sons of darkness. The army of Belial, the troops of Edom, Moab, and the sons of Ammon, the Amalekites, Phoenicia, and the troops of the Kittim of Ashur. Supporting them are those who have violated the covenant. The sons of Levi, the sons of Judah, and the sons of Benjamin, who exiled to the wilderness, shall fight against them, against the sons of light, against all their troops. When the exiles of the sons of light return from the wilderness of the peoples to camp in the wilderness of Jerusalem, then after the battle they will go up from that place, and the king of Kittim shall enter into Egypt. There shall be great panic among the sons of Japheth. Assyria shall fall with no one to come to his aid. And the supremacy of the Kittim shall cease, that wickedness shall overcome without a remnant. There shall be no survivors at all to the sons of darkness. Then the sons of righteousness shall shine to the ends of the world, continuing to shine forth until the end of the appointed seasons of darkness. Then at the time appointed by Elohim, his great excellence shall shine for all the times of eternity. for peace and blessing, glory and joy and long life for all the sons of light. On the day when the Kittim fall, there shall be a battle and horrible carnage before the Elohim of Israel. For it is a day appointed by him from ancient times as a battle of annihilation of the sons of darkness. On that day, the congregation of the Elohim and the congregation of men shall engage one another, resulting in great carnage. The sons of light and the forces of darkness shall fight together to show the strength of Elohim with the roar of a great multitude and the shout of Elohim and men. A day of disaster. It is a time of distress for all people who are redeemed by Elohim. In their afflictions, none exists that is like it, hastening its completion as an eternal redemption. On the day of their battle against the Kittim, they shall go forth for a carnage and battle. In three lots, the sons of light shall stand firm so as to strike a blow at wickedness. And in three, the army of Belial shall strengthen themselves so as to force the retreat of the forces of light. And when the banners of the infantry cause their hearts to melt, then the strength of Elohim will strengthen the hearts of the sons of light. In the seventh lot, the great hand of Elohim will overcome Belial and all the angels of his dominion, and all the men of his forces shall be destroyed. It's coming from the, like I said, the Essenes, the war scroll. Really interesting, because a lot of it is coming, really the last battle that it's talking about. But we've already entered that battle, and we already know it. The sons of light are already fighting the sons of darkness. And the battle, though, isn't out there with the people of the world, because that one's easy. We're told to refrain. Simply stay away from them. You know, that's the easy part. The battle is your human nature and the darkness that's in you that has to be given up, that has to be sequestered. John, the third chapter, verse 19. Says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness more than the light, for their works are evil. For everyone practicing wickedness hates the light, and does not come to the light, that his works may not be exposed. But the one doing the truth comes to the light, that his works may be revealed, that they exist, having been worked in Elohim. The light has come into the world, and the men love darkness more than the light. And unfortunately, sometimes even believers. Sometimes even believers, you know. When we malign each other, when we gossip each other, you know, when there's spirits of covetedness, spirits of greed, spirits of envy. And it doesn't matter if you bring it out or you have it in your heart, it's the same thing. We know it. Just like anger. Anger is murder, you know. But what we have to realize is, this is not part of the spirit of Yahweh. You know, you don't see covetous or envy or pride. It's not part of that. That's part of the spirit of darkness. And we're human. We're going to fight these things. But do we fight them? Or do we accept them? Do we hate it? Do we absolutely hate it and try to get rid of it? Or do we accept it and blame it on somebody else? Do we want to be a son of light, or do we want to be a son of darkness? John 8 and verse 12. Then Yeshua again spoke with them, saying, I am the light of the world. The one following me will in no way walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He is the light of the world. Are we walking in Yeshua? You know, and it gets down to it. Are we reading our Bible every day? And is it a chore? You know, do you get up and you're just so excited to get to that Bible and get in it, and then all of a sudden, you know, maybe your alarm goes off, and it's like, ah, I got to go to work. Boy, how quick an hour goes, or 2 hours. Or is it, you get up and it's a chore, you open up that Bible, you read for 5 minutes and go to the internet or something else? Is it a chore, or do you love it? Because Yeshua is the light of men, and these are his words, and these are the words of life. And where are you going to get words of life beside this book? Where are you going to get it? You're certainly not going to get it on the internet. You're not going to get it in secular reading. You're not going to get it on TV. You're not going to get it in videos. This is where you're going to get those words of life. Do you love it? Are you enthralled with it? Are you having a love affair with your Savior? Or has it become old? You know, I'm shocked, and I've heard more than one people in my life tell me this, that, oh, the Bible's old for me. I've read it already. You know, see why? 90% of our study should be straight from the Word. And then, of course, if we're doing from Bible study, or we're doing from a sermon or something that goes along with it, but 90% should be right from the Word. And people don't do it. Yeshua is the light of the world. Without him, we're nothing. John 1 and verse 4. John 1 and verse 4. In him was life, and the life with the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overtake it. There is a man sent from Elohim, his name was John, John the Baptist. He came for a witness that he might witness concerning the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but that he might witness concerning the light. He was the true light. He enlightens every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through his hand. Did Yeshua pre-exist? Of course he did. Only a son of darkness would say he didn't. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave authority to become sons of Elohim, to the ones believing into his name. People that deny his name. Why? Because they're sons of darkness. Because they want to choose what's important and what's not important. And where does that get us? It gets us to the point that people will say the eternal name of the Creator himself doesn't matter. Sons of light or sons of darkness, who are you following? I'm sure Satan would say the same thing. Those who neither by blood nor by the will of flesh nor by the will of man, rather were begotten by Elohim. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as an only begotten one from the Father, full of grace and truth. And I can only imagine to be in the presence of Yeshua. If we were, you know, he was right here. He walked on this water. He walked on these places. For all we know, he could have walked right on this property over here. But he lived and he walked. And if you read what's said about him, the presence, how people's mouths would draw when he came. And that didn't stop. Because we see him today the same as 2,000 years ago. These people physically saw him in this area. We see him today through his word. And we see the same thing. Are you in awe when you read these words? Does the fear of Yahweh just come over you when you're reading it? And do you fight like anything to pray to Yahweh to take your human nature away and submit it at his feet? Fear of Yahweh is the beginning of everything. And without the fear of Yahweh, we're in trouble. We're in real, real trouble. We need to proclaim the light. And we need to reflect the light. Let's remember, we're all part of the body of Messiah. He is the head, and we're pinkies and toenails and all kinds of other things. And that light reflects from the head down to us, and we're told we need to reflect that light out to others. First Peter 2:9. He says, but you are an elect race, a royal priesthood, a holy people, and a people for possession, that you should proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness to his precious light. And I always say this, you can't praise and complain at the same time. You can't praise and complain at the same time. You know, if you were having the greatest meal you ever had in your life, you wouldn't sit there and say, wow, this meal is great and this steak is great, but my water's not cold enough. You know, you can't praise and complain at the same time. And what is our time spent each day of our life? Are we praising the glorious name of Yahweh and just bowing down at his feet because he's called us out of this darkness? That literally, do you think about it, you could be out there. You could be one of these people accepting all of this vile, sick wickedness of the world that we read about. It's not that you decided, you know what? This is right and this is wrong. No, Yahweh called us by his mercy and his grace. He called us out of that wickedness and he called us. And the reason why now we understand that that's wickedness is only because his mind is living in us. If it wasn't, we'd be accepting the same things. But you've got to surrender to it. You've got to allow that spirit to live in you. You've got to surrender to it and let it speak to you daily. It's got to lead you when you wake up. It's got to lead you when you're studying your Bible. You need time to meditate. Go somewhere alone in your closet and sit there and keep your mouth shut. And just sit there and let Yahweh speak to you. Open up your word, read part of the Bible, and then sit there and let him tell you what it means. And Yahweh's word doesn't contradict itself. I meet a lot of people that they think they're being led by the Spirit. They think they are, and they contradict themselves. Because the Spirit of Yahweh is not a double-minded spirit. We see in Jacob 1, what does it say? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So if somebody says, you know what? I'm going to come and help you tomorrow. Yahweh inspired me to come and help you to build your house. And then the next day he's going to come and say, no, the Spirit of Yahweh today told me to go to the Western Wall and touch the wall. And you know what I'll call him? I'll call him a liar and a hypocrite. Because the Spirit of Yahweh don't work that way. The Spirit of Yahweh isn't a lying spirit and a double-minded spirit. And when you give your word, you keep your word. That's the Spirit of Yahweh. You do your word, you keep your word. Psalm 15, which we'll get to in a little bit. And there's people out there that are playing church with themselves. They're thinking, oh, you know what? They give you a commitment to something, and then they realize, oh, I don't want to do that commitment. And then they come back and say, the Spirit of Yahweh. And what does Yahweh say? Those people who say, thus Yahweh said, when I never spoke. Because they don't want to do something. No, Yahweh's Spirit is pure, Yahweh's Spirit is clear, and Yahweh's Spirit never contradicts itself. And we want to make sure we're surrendering to the right Spirit. Acts 26. The light of Yahweh is not for us. It's for others. It's to shine that light. It's not about making my ministry. It's not about doing something so everyone says, hey, you know what? Look at Don. He could do this. It's about letting that light shine so that people come to the light of Yeshua, because there's only one light. There's only one light. Acts 26 and verse 12. This is Paul going on the road to Damascus. In which, also traveling to Damascus with authority and decision and power from the chief priests, at midday along the highway, O king, I and those with me saw a light from heaven shining around me above the brightness of the sun. Like we said, sun's a light, sun's a darkness. And all of us falling to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew dialect. Jesus is not a Hebrew name. There's no J in Hebrew. This voice is speaking in Hebrew. So he's not saying my name is Jesus. It's impossible. Sha'al, Sha'al, why do you persecute me? It is hard to kick against the stakes. And I said, who are you, sir? And he said, I am Yeshua, whom you persecute. But rise up and stand on your feet, for it is the reason I appear to you, to appoint you a servant and a witness both of what you saw and what I shall appear to you, having delivered you from the people and the nations to whom I now send you. Now look what he's to do. To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the authority of Satan to Yahweh, in order that they may receive remission of sins and an inheritance among those being sanctified by faith in me. That is what we're to do, to shine our lights, to send them from the darkness to light, from the authority of Satan to Yahweh. Do we realize that everything from Galatians 5 that is the fruit of the flesh is toward authority from Satan? And I said this last week, we're not Elohim. We didn't create ourselves. We don't have inherent life in ourselves by ourselves. But you do have free will. And Yahweh gives you the choice to choose to worship Satan or to worship Yahweh. There's no other choice. And if there's anger, if there's envy, if there's jealousy, if there's covetousness, then you're worshiping Satan. You're worshiping Satan. And I say, Revelation 12, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He's the accuser of the brethren. So if you want to be really high up on his payroll, then badmouth as many people as you can. And you're going to get right up there. You'll be one of his generals. You'll be right up there. But if you want to be a light of Yahweh, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, long-suffering, faith. It's your choice. I put before you life and death, choose life. That's love. Love is free choice that Yahweh gives us. And it can happen. Like I said, each of us should have the same mind, the same spirit, the same doctrine, because there's only one spirit. And the same spirit is in each of us. If we just surrender to it, that spirit will grow in us and it will raise the roof like never before. But we have to make the conscious choice to do it. We are called to reflect the light to others. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Verse 16. And Yahweh said to Moses, assemble to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you have known that they are elders of the people and its officers. And you shall take them to the tent of the congregation, and they shall line themselves up there with you. And I shall come down and speak with you there. And I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, and I will put it on them. And they will bear the burden of the people with you, that you may not bear it to yourself alone. Drop down to verse 24. And Moses went out and spoke to the people the words of Yahweh, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and caused them to stand around the tabernacle. And Yahweh came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and set apart of the Spirit which was on him, and put it on the 70 men of the elders. And it happened as the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not continue. And two of the men were left in the camp, the name of the one being Eldad, and the name of the second, Medad. And the Spirit rested on them. And they were among those written, and they did not go out to the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad are prophesying at the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, minister to Moses of this young man, answered and said, my master Moses, stop them. And Moses said to him, are you jealous for my sake? Oh, that all the people of Yahweh were prophets, that Yahweh would put his Spirit on them. Is it about me or is it about Yahweh? You know, like I said, we have no copyright except copyright away. And there's been many times people have written me, someone's using your material. Great. As long as you're not lying, as long as you're not manipulating it, as long as you're not trying to say I'm saying something I didn't, great, use it. That's what it's there for. Every single thing on our website can be downloaded for free. We're not asking for one penny. Use it, great. Because it's not about me. And like Moses said, I say the same thing. I wish everybody could do what I'm doing. I wish the whole world. I don't feel I have any more of a commission to bear fruit than any other believer. I wish everybody. But what is it? You know, if we decided that we were going to do a Meals on Wheels, right? We want to go out. There's people, they don't have food. Let's do Meals on Wheels. Let's go out. We'll all cook the food and we'll help them. What would happen if a month later, all of a sudden they come with these big, big, long vans and they're doing it 10 times better than us? Would we be jealous? What are they doing? I was going to do the Meals on Wheels. That's the spirit of the dark one. That's the sons of darkness. It's not about me. It's about Yahweh. It's about Yahweh. Envy. Envying somebody else for their ministry, for their spiritual gift. Envying that someone's doing what I'm doing. When we first started learning about spiritual gifts, close to 20 years ago now, and we never learned this in the church organization. The church organization was pray and pay. That's the way you serve Yahweh. Just pray and give your tithe and that's it. But we see there's a lot more than that. That each of us are given gifts by Yahweh, different gifts. And you have to use those gifts to bear fruit. And if you don't bear fruit, when Yeshua returns, he's going to say, I gave you a gift. What do you do with it? We know it. We're accountable to him for those gifts. And so we started to say, you know what? Let's talk about what our gifts are. Let's talk about. And someone would come up and say, oh, you know what? I want to make cards for the brethren. And someone would come, someone's already doing it. Is there enough encouragement to go around the world? You know? Somebody that's sick, do you think that he's going to be not as happy if he gets two cards than one card? You know? What is it? And that's why I say, are we doing it for us or them? And we really have to look at this because the Spirit of Yahweh is the spirit of peace and the spirit of cooperation. And if somebody is doing something that you're doing, praise Yahweh. Work together. Do it. It's the synergy of it works better. Two can do as many as four. Four can do as many as 12. 12 can do as many as 40. It's not a one-man band, as we see here. So we want to make sure that we don't have envy, that we're sharing the light, that we're not trying to keep it to be my light or your light. It's Yahweh's light through Yeshua. That's what it's all about. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Brothers, if any man among you goes before you in error, you who are in the Spirit, restore him by the spirit of gentleness. And beware lest temptation also comes upon you. And you carry the excess load of one another, and thus complete yourself in the instruction of Messiah. You carry the excess load. We just had a couple of horrific situations that have come up. We had one family in the Philippines that had a fire. They lost everything. Two children died. Two of the teens trying to save the younger brother. And they lost everything. It's an excess load. I just found out a couple of days ago, one of our dear elders in the Philippines, Lido, first man I ever met there. His wife has terminal situation. She needs a kidney transplant immediately. She's in the hospital for care. And if they don't get this immediately, she'll die. They have very little time left. This is something excess. It's not like, oh, they're asking for money again. No, this is something that is an excess that every believer should want to help in the excess of somebody else, no matter who it is. First, we help within our own families, we help in our community, and then we help in the greater part of the congregation. Because that's the way Yahweh says it. Because it's not about us, it's about helping with other people. That's the way we make our light shine to others. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14. For the love of Messiah constrains us, having judged this, that if one died for all, then all were dead. And he died for all that the living ones may live no more to themselves, but to the one having died for them and having been raised to him. So as we now know no one according to flesh, but even if we have known Messiah according to flesh, yet now we no longer know him so. That if anyone is in Messiah, he is a new creation, and the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Very clear. Whereas before, you know what? Maybe if I was this great musician, and I'm playing in rock bands and doing all this stuff and making $1 million, but now Yahweh calls me, what am I going to do? I'm going to get rid of those rock bands real quick, and I'm going to start making music to Yahweh. The gift is still the same. You just use it in a different way. New creation. Each of us have spiritual gifts. Each of us has physical gifts. Let all be done to the glory of Yahweh. All things are from Elohim, the one having reconciled us to himself through Yeshua Messiah and having given us the ministry of reconciliation. So I said, it's not the ministry of condemnation. We let our light shine to others. Like it says, if you restore a brother, do it in meekness, do it in quietness. And if your brother listens, you won your brother. Ministry of reconciliation. For Yahweh was in Messiah, who has reconciled the world with his majesty, not charging their sins against them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Then on behalf of Messiah, we are ambassadors. As Elohim is exhorting through us, we beseech on behalf of Messiah, be reconciled to Yahweh. And what's the first rule of an ambassador? Always be in state. An ambassador is always in state. It doesn't matter whether there's times our embassies were taken over and they were actually, you know, under house arrest or kidnapped. The ambassador still stayed in state. You know, when you're before kings, or you're in your capacity of seeing poor people in an area, an ambassador is always in state. Which means love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. That there's not a time where an ambassador pulls off the tie and now all of a sudden, let's get him. You know, lying, corrupting, compromise. Not an ambassador of Yahweh. An ambassador of Yahweh holds his integrity until his very last breath. For he who did not know sin for your sake made himself sin that we might through him become the righteousness of Yahweh. The mystery of the good news, like we said last week, Messiah living in us. That to everybody else, it's semantics. It's semantics. Like I was saying in Pesach, they were having whatever that conference was that they were having there, and the man was talking to us. You know, and I asked him, well, why did you come to the conference? He said, I don't know. I'm seeking something. You know, and I told him, well, I wouldn't want to go. I'm not seeking anything. You know, I found what I'm looking for. Because when you find the truth, there's nowhere else to go. And that's why I don't need to search the internet. That's why I don't need to see somebody's website if they're not following the Torah. I found it. And I'm happy. And I'm completely content in what I'm doing and who I am in Messiah. Very much. Because the love of Yahweh sheds abroad. And when the light comes into our light, what more is there? What more are you looking for? You know, the eye is the light of the body, but if there's darkness in that eye, whoa, how great is that darkness? And we need to get rid of any darkness that may be in our life. And let the Holy Spirit that's living within us work. Let it work. Let it do its job. The same way, years ago when the Laodicean era was first really beginning and coming to fruition, I was invited to a place to speak. And when I got there, right away they started telling me what I was going to do and what I wasn't going to do. And you don't think this... So I said, okay. Went over, started setting up chairs. They said, what are you doing? I said, I'm not going to speak. I said, I'll set up chairs. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. No, we didn't mean that. I said, no. I said, number one, If you want me to speak, I'll speak. But if I'm going to speak, I'm going to speak the word of Yahweh. You're not going to put handcuffs on me. And if you don't want me to speak, that's fine. I'll fellowship with you. I'll set up chairs. I'll do whatever it takes. Because I'm here as a servant of Yahweh to fill a need wherever there is. It doesn't matter. If that need is speaking the word of Yahweh, it's great. If the need is setting up chairs, then that's just as good too. And that's what we want to do. We want to humbly look where there's a need and we want to fill it. We want to make sure we fill that need. Our ministry is a ministry of reconciliation. As ambassadors to Yahweh, our only life is in Him. He is the one we represent. Luke 11, in verse 5. Luke 11, in verse 5. And He said to them, "Who of you shall have a friend and will come at midnight and will say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine arrived on a journey, and I do not have what I might put before him.' In answering from within, that one may say, 'Do not cause me trouble. The door has been shut, and my children are in bed, and I cannot rise to give to you.' And I say to you, even if rising up, he will not give him because he is a friend, yet because of his urgent insisting, rising up, he will give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone asking receives, and the one seeking finds, and the one knocking it will be opened. And who among you, if he has a father, and his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he has a fish, will give him a snake instead of a fish? And if he should ask for an egg, will give him a scorpion? And if you who are evil know to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So in between, when we're asking for the riches and all the other stuff, how about the Holy Spirit? Matter of fact, how about that being the top on the list and the middle and the bottom? Are we praying? Are we yearning? Are we crying out to Yahweh? I was saying, when you look at the word prayer in the New Testament, there's many different things. And one of them is literally to cry out, to beg. Are we using that type of prayer, crying out and begging, "Father, please, please, by your Spirit, kill this anger that's in me. Kill this covetous spirit in me. Kill this lustful spirit in me." Are we crying out to Him for His Spirit to overtake us? Are we just accepting it in our life for nothing? Psalm 51. Let's look at a man who had another spirit. King David. Wonderful king of Israel who will be right under Yeshua in the millennium. And look at the spirit of the king, the most powerful man in the land, as he speaks out to Yahweh. The Psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came to him, Psalm 51, after he had gone into Bathsheba. "Let your grace be on me, O Elohim, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me completely from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done evil in your eyes, that you might be justified in your speaking and be clear when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." He understood human nature. He understood without the Spirit of Yahweh what he was. "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and the inward parts you teach me wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Cause me to hear joy and gladness. The bones you have crushed will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Elohim, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We need to renew that Holy Spirit daily. "Do not cast me from your presence and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, Yeshua, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you, letting our light shine. Deliver me from the guilt of shedding blood, O Elohim. O Elohim of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness. O Yahweh, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O Elohim, you will not despise. Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem." David had another spirit, a spirit of humility and the fear of Yahweh. Humility and the fear of Yahweh. Psalms 15, go back a few pages to Psalms 15, like I was saying before, about keeping our word. O Yahweh, who will sojourn in your tabernacle? Another Psalm of David. Who will settle on your holy mountain? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He does not backbite with his tongue, nor he does evil to his friend, nor he lifts a reproach against his neighbor. In his eyes the reprobate has been despised, but he honors those who fear Yahweh. He has sworn to his hurt, and he will not change. He has not given his silver at interest, nor has taken a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall not be shaken forever. Sons of light don't compromise. Sons of light don't compromise, even to his own hurt. Philippians 2. Verse 1. So then, if there is any comfort in Messiah, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any mercies and compassions, complete my joy by being one accord in one love in one soul and one mind. It can only come by the one Spirit. It can only come by surrender to that. Doing nothing according to strife or self-glory, but in humility, let each regard his neighbor as better than himself. Let no one be mindful only of his own things, but let each one be mindful of the things of his neighbor. For think this within you, which mine was also in Yeshua Messiah, who existed in the form of Elohim, thought it not robbery to be equal with Elohim. But he emptied himself, taking the image of a servant, having become in the image of the sons of men. And he was found in form like a man. He humbled himself, having become obedient to death, even the death of a torture stake. And think of it, the Almighty Creator of the universe, the King of Kings and Master of Masters, was stripped naked, put on a tree, beaten and mocked, spit upon. And what did he say? Did he say, Father, take revenge? No, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The Spirit of Yahweh, the Spirit of humility. We must surrender to allow it to work in our life. The Father and the Son are ekad by submitting the Spirit to each other. John 5 and verse 19. Says, then Yeshua answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you that the Son is not able to do anything by his desire, but what he sees the Father does. For these things that the Father does, the Son also does likewise. Drop down to verse 30. I am not able to do anything of my desire, but what I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, for I don't seek my will, rather the will of him who sent me. Very tough in this world. Very complicated world. Very fast-paced world. Many more relationships than people have ever had because of technology. And yet we can't lose the simple point that we have to seek Yahweh's will and not our own will. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. And the sons of light were told to stay separate from the world. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for through these things the wrath of Yahweh comes on the sons of disobedience. Do not become partakers with them. For you then were darkness, but are now light in the Master. Sons of light, sons of darkness. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, and you must discern what is acceptable before our Master. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful words of darkness, but rather condemn them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things being done by them in secret. But all things being condemned are exposed by the light and are clearly revealed. For everything having been revealed is light. And you know something, I've said this before, the worst insult someone can ever give you is if they say, wow, I never knew you were a believer. I never knew you were a believer. Whether you're at work or you're in a store or you're anywhere, if somebody comes out and says something that is against Yahweh, do you stand up for it? If someone is cursing, if someone is saying something, or do you just stay quiet? Or do you stand up for the truth? Hey, don't use that language. Don't use those words around me and my family. Don't say that against my Savior. You know, it's wrong to lie. Yahweh's watching you. You know, do we reprove them? And unfortunately, sometimes brethren will even condone it. Sometimes they'll even condone it. Are you like them or are you like Yahweh? Very clearly we have to separate from the world. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not unite in marriage with unbelievers. For what partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what agreement does the Messiah have with Satan? Or what part does a believer have with an unbeliever? The sons of darkness are sons of Satan. The sons of light are sons of Yahweh. It's very clear. Like I said, there's no mixing in between. Matthew 12. Start wrapping up. Matthew 12. In verse 30. Because you know something I've been saying over and over and over. You have the Spirit of Yahweh. You have something in you that can transform your life. You have something that can get every bit of darkness out of your life. But you know something? With the Spirit of Yahweh in you, if you don't do something, if you don't allow that Spirit to work, if you just let days go into weeks and weeks into months and months into year, and you allow that Spirit of darkness to dwell in you and you're not changing, you're going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And eventually, you'll quench it in your life. Matthew 12, in verse 30. The one who is not with me is against me, and the one who does not gather with me scatters. Because of this, I say to you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven to men, but the blasphemy concerning the Spirit will not be forgiven. And whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, not in this age, nor in the coming one. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by the fruit. So very, very clearly. That to the world out there, that's why Yeshua said, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Why did he say that? They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't have his Spirit. They didn't know that they're crucifying the Messiah who created the world. But we do know. We know that he's the Messiah. We know he's the creator of the world. And every time we do something that's against his commandment, we are crucifying him. We are putting him back on that tree. We're blaspheming his Spirit. Every time we do it. And if there is a spirit of Satan that is attacking us, and like I said, it doesn't matter what it is, we have to stop it. We have to get it out of our life. We must let our light shine as we're commanded. We don't want to reject the Holy Spirit by not submitting to it. Matthew 5 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. It is not possible to hide a city that is built on a mountain. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under the bushel, but the lampstand, and it shines for those in the house. So let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and may glorify your Father in heaven. Are they seeing it? Is your light shining? Or is it like the parable of the virgins? Is it waning? Is it waning? Is your light shining before men? 1 Samuel 16. Because like I said, it's a scary thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim. 1 Samuel 16. And if we don't use the Holy Spirit, if we don't renew it daily, if we don't let it work in our life, we will quench it and kill it. Or at least it will leave us. We will make it dormant. Can't kill it, but within ourselves. 1 Samuel 16. And Yahweh said to Samuel, until when will you mourn for Saul? For I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite. For I have seen a king for me among the sons of men. And sometimes that's the problem. How long will you mourn for Saul? Each of us have our own soul in our life. You know, we have problems. We had death. We had sickness. We had lose jobs. We had this. We had that. But there's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh. And there's a time we have to get over whatever it is and move on. And sometimes, like I said, talk to somebody, meet them the first time. They're telling me this story. They're abused by an elder. You would think it happened a week ago. When did this happen? 1982. 30 years later, you're still in that spirit from that. How long will we mourn for Saul? Time to move on. Drop down to verse 11. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all of your young men? And he said, yet there remains the youngest, and behold, he is feeding the flock. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit until he comes. And he sent and brought him in, and he was ruddy, talking about David, and was beautiful and good of form. And Yahweh said, rise up, anoint him, for this is him. A man that had a different spirit. And Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day and onward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Like I said, Samuel had a different spirit. And the Spirit of Yahweh departed from Saul, And a spirit of adversity from Yahweh terrified him. And Saul's servant said to him, behold, now a spirit of adversity from Elohim is terrifying you. Wow, that's scary. Because just a few chapters before this, Saul is the one who's filled with humility, who's being anointed by Samuel. But what did he do? He blasphemed the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of Yahweh opened his mind, and instead of using it toward the glory of Yahweh, he used it toward himself, toward building his own kingdom. And even after this, he never repented. He was justified in his own eyes. The Spirit can leave you if you quench it and you blaspheme it. 1 John 1 and verse 5. 1 John 1 and verse 5. Brethren, it's time to admit what is holding us back and not lie to ourselves and not try to lie to Yahweh. 1 John 1 and verse 5. He says, and this is the message which we have heard from him and we proclaim to you. Elohim is light and no darkness is in him, none. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another and the blood of his son, Yeshua Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. I've met brethren before that will go to Sunday churches because they said, I want fellowship with my children. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son. And the fellowship can only come through unity of the body, through the one Spirit. I think it's torture to meet with people that have wrong doctrine and are into them. To me, it's a torture. There's no blessing on the Sabbath to be talking with people that have everything wrong and wrong and wrong, where you're just being tortured in your spirit. But what a blessing, and especially a feast time, when Yahweh's people come from all over the world and the temple is rebuilt, all of us as living pillars there, and we have a unified spirit, and we're all coming to learn, and we all come with the one Spirit and the proper doctrine. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his son, Yeshua Messiah, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous that he may forgive us the sins and may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Do we ask Yahweh on a regular basis, Father, reveal to me what I'm missing? We're all blinded to something. Do we say, Father, reveal to me? Reveal to me what I'm missing. Reveal to me what I need to change. Reveal to me from this situation what I can learn from it. Why did this happen? What can I learn from it? Cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with Yahweh. Last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. This is the admonishment to the sons of light. He says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you. For you yourself know accurately that the day of Yahweh comes as a thief in the night. We talked about that many times. For when they say peace and safety, then suddenly destruction comes upon them like the travail to the woman with child, and not at all will they escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then we should not sleep as the rest do, but we should watch and be sober. For those sleeping, sleep by night, and those having been drunk are drunk by night. But let us who are children of day be alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet put on the hope of salvation. Again, bad things happen at night. Children of light are children of the day. And I was saying, your immune system as physical human beings, between 10 at night and 2 in the morning is the only 4 hours that your immune system will regenerate itself. So we're not children at night. We shouldn't be up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. You know, we need to be children today. We should be getting up at 4 in the morning. That should be the time when the sun is getting ready to come up. But let us who are children of the day be alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, put on the hope of salvation. Because Yahweh has not appointed us to wrath, but for obtaining of salvation through our Master Yeshua Messiah, he dying on our behalf, so that whether we are awake or we sleep, we're dead, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, as you indeed do. Drop down to verse 17 or verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Elohim and Messiah Yeshua towards you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Keep back from every form of evil. And may the Elohim of peace himself fully sanctify you. And may your whole spirit and life and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Master, Yeshua Messiah. Faithful is the one calling you, who will also perform it. Wow. These are words of life. They should be jumping off the page. The Holy Spirit in you should be getting fed, getting drunk with the Spirit, not drunk meaning filled. And the Holy Spirit should be leaping for joy as you hear these words of light. The spirit of Satan and the anti-Messiah is prevalent in the world today. We need to reject this spirit in our life and submit to Yahweh to have another spirit. Time is short. We can't play games anymore. We have to stay in the light. And as the time continues, woe, that darkness will get greater. But like I said, so will the light. So we have to hold on to this hope. And remember, when Yeshua returns at the brightness of his coming, every evil will be gone. The enemies that fight him, their eyeballs will melt in their sockets because they can't take the light. And like I said, the evil of this world, they can't stand the light. They can't stand the light that is in us. But we have to stand firm, and we have to stand in the light. And we want to have another spirit, the spirit of the sons of light. Yahweh bless.